Hello, sexy nerds of the Nerd Imperium. Welcome to this week's episode of the Currently Nerdy Podcast. We are your inner conclave of nerdom. My name is Diz, and I'm your pop culture and sports nerd. Ali?
I am Ali, your classic nerd.
And I'm VM, your comic book nerd.
Ali, I gotta ask you a question. Mm-hmm. Ali, do you love me? Are you riding? Say you never ever leave from beside me.
You're extraordinarily annoying you. Already. You're and just adding you. To that.
I'm down for you. Wait, come on, man. Do you know where it's from, at least?
Some stupid challenges.
It's not from a...
Something feeling challenge.
In my feelings.
Whatever.
It's from the new Drake album. Scorpion. Scorpion season, bro.
Couldn't care less.
You're just a terrible person. I don't know how you don't listen to, like, new music. Have you heard the Drake album, V?
No, I haven't. I've only heard a couple of the songs. I haven't heard the whole thing.
It's a great album. Especially after he got fucking bodied by Pusha T. Like, putting out an album like this. And he redeemed himself.
How did he get bodied by Pusha T?
Well, because Pusha T put out that picture of him wearing blackface. And then he talked about how he's got a kid that he doesn't want to admit to.
Hmm.
And then he said, your best friend's dying. Yeah. Your dad left your mom.
Yeah. That's fucked up.
Pusha T went in on him, bro.
Yeah. It seems like it's crossed a couple lines there.
Just a little bit. He started off with saying how, like, your dad never really loved your mom. Then he says, you have an illegitimate child. Why don't you admit it? And then he goes, also, your best friend is dying. And then Drake didn't respond.
Who's his best friend?
It's this guy named, 60X or some shit.
Why would his friend dying be...
Yeah, how is that weaponized against somebody?
It's his best friend is dying of, like MS or something. And, like...
How is that meant to be a... That's just a...
He just went super low. Like he went completely in on him.
I never quite understood why degrading someone or being cruel to people is valorized in our society. It just seems like a really cruel thing to say. Oh, your friend is dying.
Yeah, I
of MS.
Yeah,
that's fucked up. You know, that's really fucked up.
That's a really fucked up thing to do.
Yeah. Pusha took it a little far. But he's
not a little far. He's an utterly despicable human being.
The line was crossed. Well, he was upset because Drake said, I'ma let it ring like Virginia Williams, which is his fiance. I don't see how that's a bad line. He just said his fiance's name in the song when he was dissing him. So then Pusha he saw the line and he went way past it.
Yeah, that's just despicable.
Because Drake kind of towed the line by naming his fiance.
Still despicable.
Yeah, but, I mean, what can you do? In the end, Drake's album sold, like, 50 times more than Pusha T's album, and it's only been out a week.
I've always said that the best form of revenge is living well.
Yeah, so Drake won. Which
motivates much of my success in life is...
No idea you had this many people you're trying to get revenge against.
I'm a very vengeful person.
Yeah, I know, but like, who has really wronged you, truly?
Not a lot of people.
Yeah.
I don't have like vengeance against millions of people, but it's a significant number. Not even significant, a handful of people. But the handful of people I want them to... I knew that guy once.
Okay, you dick.
That's what I want.
Yes.
I want to...
You want your enemies to die?
I want to live a life of... such great substance that I can look back and be like, you remember so-and-so?
Who?
That's what I want.
Jesus.
It's not like I'm trying to destroy them.
I'm not
outright trying to kill them or anything. What I am doing is living a wonderful life. And if it just so happens that it keeps their hate fires going, great.
More
power to me.
You going to tell me you haven't actively tried to ruin anyone's life before?
No, I'm not claiming that.
I mean...
I'm saying that it's not... In my acts of vengeance, that's not what I'm doing.
Does the name...
I actually taught a class today in world history, and I talked about the Greco-Persian War, in which Darius launches the first war on the Greeks, mostly as a result of the fact that what happens is that he's conquered Ionia, and... the Ionians revolt, and so what the Athenians do is the Athenians end up supporting the Ionians, and they interfere in internal Persian Empire, Achaemenid Empire business. And this pisses off Darius. Now, this is true revenge. This is true vengeful spirit. So what does Darius do? Darius goes to recruit his army, but it takes time for him to build his army. So in order to ensure that he keeps his hate fires going, he assigns a slave or a servant to stand behind him always and every few minutes whisper into his ear, "Remember the Athenians," just so that he'll never forget how much he hates the Athenians and wants to destroy them. And as a result of that, he keeps those hate fires burning strong. He then gathers his troops and launches the first in 490 he launches, or 499 he launches the first Greco-Persian War. But I would do something like that.
Yeah,
like,
your son's name is no longer Hephaestus. It is Darius.
It was never Hephaestus.
It was Hephaestus.
Hephaestus is the ugliest of the gods.
That's what I named your son.
And he's also he's a craftsman. He worked with his hands.
Yeah, and your daughter's name is Aphrodite.
Okay, just because you like Greek mythology doesn't mean I'd ever name my children after Greek. Yeah, but I would definitely assign a servant to stand behind me and remind me of the people. It's that scene from Pitch Perfect, you know, where Fat Amy has the burrito that she leaves behind her ear to keep her...
fuels her hate fire.
Her hate fire. That's what I would totally do that. Have someone behind me be like, "Remember so-and-so." I'm like, damn it.
Well, you know what you would do,
I gotta work extra hard to make sure my life is great.
And then when you get greater, you'd actually hire people to follow those people. Be like, "You remember that one guy, Ali?
Remember Ali?
He's coming for you."
I'm not coming for anybody.
Yeah, okay.
I just want my life to be so amazing for other people to be like, damn.
Get the fuck out of here, bro. I know you. You're a vengeful motherfucker.
No, I'm not angry.
Like, you're not angry, but you're vengeful. There's a difference. You can be vengeful and not angry.
So when I feel slighted, I just put all that hate fire into something constructive, unlike you.
No, there's a difference. I'm an angry person.
Yeah, but you want to fight people. I don't want to fight people.
You know, you're vengeful. You want to ruin their lives. I want to cause them pain temporarily by punching them in the face.
The only thing that's getting ruined in this world is the United States right now.
This is true.
It is in a state of utter and abject ruination. And it's mostly because Donald Trump is now going to select a second Supreme Court. We already talked about this.
I blame Mitch McConnell.
Two weeks ago.
Yeah.
Where it was announced that Kennedy was retiring. And now has come out that Kennedy has sealed his legacy, actually. He retired because he had an agreement with Trump.
Yeah, I heard that. Did they confirm that?
It's a rumor that has not been confirmed or denied.
So
Rod Shaw, the communications something director or whatever, under the Trump administration, said, "We cannot confirm or deny," which means that it happened.
Oh, it's so fucked up.
It's really messed up that Kennedy would do that. But anyways,
Is it though?
He's made an announcement.
Are you shocked?
He's made an announcement. Who's this announcement?
It's Brett Kavanaugh.
Kavanaugh
from Maryland.
Yeah.
He was a federal appeals judge in Maryland
under Merrick Garland, no less.
Yeah.
Isn't that ironic?
More insult to injury here, right? Like, hey, that's the guy you wanted? Yeah, we're not going to pick him. We're not going to let him go. But we'll get the guy.
McConnell's complaining about the Democrats not threatening not to hold the vote. I mean, they can't. They have no choice. But yeah.
Well, I mean,
there's a level of...
What is it? Murkowski, Sanders, and then the other guy.
What are you talking about?
To try to not confirm him. That's what the Democrats are relying on.
You mean Murkowski, the lack of a vote from McCain, and then...
not McCain, there was another one.
Yeah, McCain is not voting.
I forgot the fuck.
Collins, Murkowski, and Murkowski are the two that they're worried about.
Yeah.
Oh, I thought there was another one too, someone with an M.
No. Murkowski and Collins, because they've said that they're only going to vote for someone who will uphold Roe v. Wade.
Yeah, and then what's his face today? Mike Pence. Like, when he got interviewed by CNN, they asked him, like, how do you feel about Roe versus Wade? He says, well, I would overturn it, but I'm not going to be a Supreme Court justice. So I don't know how I feel about that.
I mean, the chances of them overturning Roe v. Wade are pretty high.
Yeah, because it'll go 5-4.
No.
You know, so in the opposite way of it.
Yeah, but Kennedy voted with the conservative bloc frequently enough that I think he's okay with Kavanaugh replacing him. But he was a swing vote when it mattered.
Yeah.
Kavanaugh won't be.
This is true. And this is going to be a historic moment for the Supreme Court justice, wow. or the Supreme Court, if he's confirmed as Supreme Court justice.
He's going to be the first white man.
The 108th white man who served in the Supreme Court. There's only been a handful of not. So you had Clarence Thomas and Thurgood
Marshall. Do we count Clarence Thomas?
I mean, genetically, he's...
Biologically.
Biologically, he's... Wait, no, what is it?
It's not even biological.
Yeah, just melatoninly, he's black.
Right. By all accounts, he's as white as Wonder Bread.
Yeah, George H. Bush put him in, right? Yeah. So
he also is notoriously laconic. He absolutely never speaks.
Yeah, not a fan of Clarence Thomas.
No one's a fan of Clarence Thomas.
Yeah, no, like, who are you going to go to and be like, yeah, you know, I'm a big Clarence Thomas fan.
No one's a fan of
Clarence. Yeah, wait, are there any Tumblr pages
Clarence Thomas? There's people who are Thurgood Marshall fans.
Yeah, because he was the first black Supreme Court justice.
Yeah, he was cool. Who played him in a movie recently?
I don't know.
The Chadwick Boseman? Chadwick Boseman plays all the good people.
Funny enough, Chadwick Boseman was on Castle.
Was he?
Yeah, I was watching an episode of Castle, like it was like a month ago. And he was a street magician. I went,
My king
from street magician to king of Wakanda.
Yeah, fair enough.
Just like the life of Chris Angel.
Yeah. What a
but then you've
noble
had
ascent.
You've had a few women. You had Ruth Bader Ginsburg, and then Sonia Sotomayor.
Notorious.
RBG.
Yeah, she's a gangster. Ginsburg, the gangster.
She does daily planks.
And then Sonia.
Good for her, man. Get that core strength.
You don't keep on blinking.
Don't die
for the love of God.
Stay alive.
We need to get like a donor registry going.
Give her some elixir at the end. I know you have some elixir of life.
Get like a national registry going of people in line waiting to donate organs just in case something happens, lady.
I will give you anything you need, RBG.
Please don't die on us. Doze off on as many rulings as you have to.
Can we make a GoFundMe page to keep Ruth Bader Ginsburg alive? Like, is that a thing that can happen?
Yeah, Elon Musk, put your efforts to this.
Yes, please.
Extend her life by at least 10 years.
Yeah. We got Sonia Sotomayor,
yeah.
Elaine Kagan.
Two women Kagan. Nominated and voted in by Obama.
Yeah, Obama was, he made some changes in there.
Yeah, and Sotomayor then, and Kagan.
And then Sandra Day O'Connor. She was of Irish heritage.
Yeah, who's also considered one of the more badass Supreme Court
justices. The women justices have been
pretty, they've been pretty badass.
There was a Portuguese judge. Does that count?
Nope.
No? Why not? Because he's European?
Yeah.
And they were colonizers too?
Yeah.
They colonized the Brazilians?
I mean, some of the worst, in fact. Yeah.
They were pretty bad in that regard.
Yeah, I mean, but look, leave it to...
I've also argued that Thurgood Marshall is the... looked white enough that he could pass as the first black. And one of the reasons
Thurgood Marshall... Could pass it, what?
That there was... He looked white enough in black and white photos that for racist white America to be like, all right, we'll accept him as the first black... It's the same thing with Obama. Like Obama,
I
mean,
I guess. Like, look at that photo. I'm trying to.
Yeah, like Obama is like half white, right? He's just black enough for like wannabe liberal, like woke liberals to be like, I'd vote for him. But he's not like so. He's got a very white upbringing, right? He's like Hawaii, gross. Like, that's if he true. Had any other type of upbringing that was like that made him seem too black,
yeah,
right? Like, if he had a stint as a hip hop artist, so there's no would have been no Obama president.
Or if he had a production company.
I like that you brought up hip hop because there's a Jay-Z line in the "My President is Black" remix.
Yeah.
He goes, "My president is black. In fact, he's half white." So even in a racist mind, he's half right.
Yeah, they've always argued that his white half is one of the reasons why people
are
like, all right, I'm willing to vote for him. He's not too black.
His name isn't Barack. It's actually Barry.
I think in certain regards, the same thing with Thurgood Marshall, right? It's like he's not too black.
Yeah.
Because there's gradations, right? Like if you're too black, It's abrasive, right?
Yeah, you can't be Maxine Waters. Deal
with it. Yeah, Maxine, like one of the what is it that with Maxine Waters, because she's unapologetically black.
Yeah,
right. Yeah. She doesn't deny her blackness. She doesn't pretend to be white. Yeah. She doesn't speak to whiteness. She speaks to her. Right? And so, what do they call her? They call her loudmouth.
Yeah,
right. They call her.
Did you hear what that?
Yeah, this is a district attorney said.
Yeah,
right?
They called her a ghetto cunt or some shit.
Oh, Jesus Christ!
That loudmouth ghetto cunt hasn't been shot. Yet.
Oh my
and,
God!
You know,
the worst.
The whole low IQ thing, right? Yeah. They constantly accuse her of being low IQ.
Yeah.
Comes from the fact that she's too black in their mind.
That is true, right? Because it's like if they were, if they had any more
envision as too black, right? Mm-hmm. We're talking about these as social constructs. Yeah. They don't exist in reality.
Yeah.
If they had any more blackness in them, then they would be called the cops would be calling them for having a picnic or whatever
having
else.
Too like, much of what is considered blackness associated with.
Yeah, well, I mean, that's the same thing happened in Tiger Woods in the golfing world, right? I mean, he became
same with Clarence Thomas, right?
Yeah. So
the only reason Republicans let that guy in
is because
his wife was white,
yeah, and he votes their way.
And I'm assuming they probably went, well, you know, we could always use a black. I'm trying to use their terminology. Yeah. We could always use a black in the. To help us with the numbers.
And what do you think Ben Carson's like appointed HUD secretary for? I mean, he got grilled the other day, by the way, but that's
neither here. An idiot.
Yeah.
He's an idiot, but he's not the one, like, of all the people that I want to see behind bars, though, Pruitt, who's gone.
Yeah,
he's
yeah.
resigned.
Mm-hmm.
That's another victory for us.
Yeah.
Yep. I high five myself there.
Uh-huh.
Would you curse him?
I'd love to see Betsy DeVos behind bars.
Oh, God.
Oh, no, she's, I hate yeah. oh,
Betsy
God.
DeVos.
She's the easiest, one of the easiest ones to hate, I mean, in my opinion.
Betsy DeVos, like, I'd like to see behind bars. Jeff Sessions, I'd like to see behind bars.
Oh, my God,
bars.
The little fucking gremlin looking
I'd
motherfucker.
I'd like to see Pruitt behind bars, Zinke behind bars, and just for good measure,
Stephen Miller?
Nielsen behind bars.
Oh, I'd like to see Stephen Miller behind
I'd
bars.
I'd like to see. No, I wouldn't like to see Stephen Miller behind bars because I think that would
He would start a new Aryan nation.
I think he would validate him. He'd be like, "Yeah, I'm a bad boy."
That's true.
No, I'd like Stephen Miller to have his sushi spat in for the rest of his life.
Yeah. I'd like to see him get cyberbullied to the point where he no longer can go outside. Yeah. That's my wish for Stephen
Fair
Miller.
Fair enough. Yeah. But
next time we see Stephen Miller, he's eating a raw fish. Singing about hobbitses. That's what I want for his future.
Potatoes. Yeah.
That's what I want. Like, if I see, like, I want to see his slow descent from Smeagol, because he's at Smeagol now,
yeah,
into Gollum. That's what I want to see.
They want you to hate the black Stephen Miller.
I want to see that, like, him just kind of collapse in on himself into a pathetic creature that we all mock and you know.
I feel bad because I think by extension...
Don't let him eat our Lambus bread.
We're kind of talking badly about Andy Serkis by extension because we're like...
No, Andy Serkis
character Andy Serkis played is a different
character.
I know, but Andy Serkis looked a lot like Smeagol in the beginning.
Andy Serkis looks like a normal human being.
Yeah.
Well, it's all that prosthetics that turns him into... And CGI that turns him into Gollum. Whereas with Miller... He's one hate ring away from... It just takes one iron ring or one SS ring before he's fully embraced. I'm almost 100% sure that piece of shit has Nazi memorabilia in
it. Oh, you know he does.
You know he's got
some.
Like, of all of them, him and Sessions likely have Nazi memorabilia.
Yeah, Stephen Miller's probably got, like, Hitler's wife's lipstick hidden somewhere.
Somewhere or another.
Yeah.
So I wouldn't like to see him arrested. But those other ones, definitely arrested.
Mm,
I'd like to see Christa Nielsen arrested, too. I'd like to see her charged.
That would be
for
amazing.
Negligence. Criminal negligence.
What about the Indian chick that's in the UN? Nikki Haley.
Yeah, she's stupid.
Yeah.
I mean, I'd like to, you know, like, I'd like her career to be ruined. I don't want any of these people to ever get a job, but I wouldn't want to see her behind bars or anything.
Yeah.
It's like, she's just a Republican.
Okay, fine.
But these other people, they're uniquely evil. I'd like to see them behind bars.
Fair enough.
I want to see Jeff Sessions in Orange.
That would be great.
That would be a fantastic...
That's a hell of a Netflix series.
Jeff Sessions in Orange.
I want him to be someone's Keebler elf in prison. That's what I really want. Like, come here, little Keebler.
Come here, boy. You're my bitch now.
I'd, you know, and preferably I would love it if, Pruitt needs to go too.
Yeah.
I don't want him. I'm not a big fan of this whole, like, you get to resign and then leave.
That's true, because then you just get some high-paying job at some corporation or some bullshit, and they
I'd
end
like
up living
to say,
a comfortable
life. Like Mike Flynn just did. Mike Flynn just got a job at a lobbying firm.
Isn't he, like, under trial?
He's waiting. No, he's not in trial. He's waiting sentencing.
Oh.
His sentencing is in August.
What?
They just delayed it. It was supposed to be this month, but they delayed it to August. The man's awaiting sentencing, and he's got a job at a lobbying firm. That's DC yeah. for you.
It really goes to show you. It's like that's like just because they're out of office doesn't mean that they're necessarily living a bad life. Like they're not getting punished for what they're doing. Which is
why Pruitt needs to be behind bars. Anyways, back to Kavanaugh. One of the issues that I have with Kavanaugh, in addition to being a pretty hard right judge
and being a white male,
is that he's going to tip, obviously.
Mm-hmm.
The courts.
5-4.
Right. Roe v. Wade, any type of states, any type of voter redistricting, all of that up in the air with this guy. But the thing that I find most interesting is that he was related to the Kenneth Starr investigation of Bill Clinton, and he advocated under that time that the president can be impeached for lying to staffers. So he was all about impeaching the president under Clinton.
Mm-hmm.
Come George Bush era, he does an about face and goes, the president can't be impeached for lying. Not only can he not be impeached, he should never face investigation while he's president.
Yeah, because he has more important things to deal with.
More important things to kind of deal with. Now, why does this matter? This interesting. Kind of complete about face. And why him being nominated is such an issue is that if he were confirmed to the Supreme Court, it means now that Trump is safe to take on Mueller. He can remove Mueller as special counsel. Mueller would ideally appeal this to either Congress or the Supreme Court or the courts, get some form of injunction. But with Kavanaugh on the bench, that means that Kavanaugh would side with Trump. Similarly, if Mueller were, let's say he doesn't even remove Mueller, but Mueller subpoenas Trump for an interview, right? Trump refuses because I refuse to do so. This would eventually make its way to the Supreme Court. The Supreme Court is what would decide, does the president have to sit in for an interview? Kavanaugh would side with the conservative judges, indicating that Trump's got doesn't have to sit down for an interview. In other words, by putting Kavanaugh in this position, he's removed the teeth of the Supreme Court as a check against the executive branch.
Yeah, yeah.
We are effectively living in a one-party government.
Yeah.
This is as close as it gets to communist China in the United States, minus outright repression, right? It's there. Repression's there. Yep. Oppression's there. It's not as bad as communist China, but we are living in one-party rule for all intents and purposes. And what's worse is that it's not just one-party oligarchy. It's one-party authoritarianism. You have all power being vested in one man with no check against him. We know Congress is going to do shit against Donald Trump.
Mm-hmm.
They refuse to act as a check. The Supreme Court has acted as the weakest, but still a check against Donald Trump. Now, with Kavanaugh, that means that's not going to be the case. And I think that's a significant, I think, not only development, but also kind of moment in world in U.S. history.
You think it's confirmed?
I don't know. I think if I was the Democrats, it's time to pull out all the stuff.
You have to, right?
Right. Yeah, I mean, one, the filibuster they already broke last year, April of 2017. Confirmation hearings are filibuster-proof now. You can't filibuster them. They went the nuclear option. So what can the Democrats do? The Democrats can threaten. So what the Democrats can do is they say, we will clog up Congress in every single other way to make it so that you are unable to get anything done. We will also, when we retake
The House
and the Senate and the presidency.
You think they do take the Senate in 2018?
They can retake it. This is the easiest.
I think they take the House for sure.
This is the easiest midterm for them to take. Will they? Probably not. It's the Democrats. In the words
of, that's true.
In the words of Michelle Wolf, they would lose to a Nazi. Outright German Nazi doctor they would lose to. But this is the easiest one. The threat would be that if you confirm this guy, but not confirm a moderate, someone who we can agree on, then we will, when we retake, we will expand the courts. They can pass an amendment if they have a majority.
Mm-hmm.
No one's ever done it, but they can. They have all the legal apparatus exists to expand the courts out by three more or whatever more. To put in 11 liberal justices.
Yeah.
Wow. Yeah. I mean, that's still...
That's considered a very extreme option, but it is a viable one.
You think they'll do it? I don't think they have the spines to do it.
Of course not. They won't.
In terms of their ability to organize and actually do something, historically, hasn't been particularly great.
They don't have a fucking backbone, bro. I mean, like, look who's in charge.
They could easily say, look, we're going to expand the court by 4, add on 4 more liberal justices, bring it up to 13 or whatever.
Yeah.
But they're highly doubtful that they do. But that's what, if I was the Democrats, that's the threat I would use.
Yeah.
Now, if I was also the Democrats, I would stall long. They probably can't stop a vote, but they can stall it long enough to ensure that it becomes a midterm issue. And it is. If they can make the Supreme Court, if they make Supreme Court, Roe v. Wade, and kids in cages the midterm issues, they win.
Yeah, you mentioned that in the previous episodes too. Like those are the big.
This is
you added Roe v. Wade this time.
Roe v. Wade because it'll mobilize everyone who's pro-choice.
Yeah,
right. So I mean, this is the battle. This is the battle for it. It really kind of invokes the old culture wars. But will the Democrats do so? I don't know. I mean, fucking Schumer's out there doing press conferences at gas stations and shit.
Yeah, isn't the reality too? It's like at the end of the day, like the Democrats. The people who are in Washington who are technically supposed to be fighting for us, I mean, they don't get nearly as affected as the population does by these policies.
Still, they're still, at the end of the day, what Democrats fundamentally care about is the re-election of themselves.
Yeah.
Right? The party politics in America is weird. They vote along party lines. But there isn't on the Democratic leadership, there isn't that same hunger for
retaking
power.
Sense of urgency in the past 2 years.
Well, I mean, Mitch McConnell very successfully ran up a opposition party by unifying the Republicans.
Yeah,
fucking worst.
Whereas Schumer hasn't been able to bring the Democrats on board.
That's true. I mean, no one in this podcast likes Schumer. So I mean,
Get rid of Schumer and Pelosi.
Yeah, honestly, like they need to take because these people are establishment. I really think that like someone
and who for was, me it's even if they're establishment is that wildly unpopular establishment.
Yeah,
you can put in an establishment Democrat. Ideally, you shouldn't.
Yeah.
But you can put someone that you, as a party, are comfortable. You don't put in like a Democratic Socialist and scare the world. But you need to put in people that are going to rally the troops.
Yeah, like a Cory Booker, Kamala Harris,
wartime consigliere.
Yeah,
is what you need.
Well, I think they represent kind of the one of some of the worst behaviors of the Democratic Party, in my opinion, or like of what. A lot of people who were pro Bernie were trying to push back against, regardless of how spineless they were at the end of the day. Like, and the thing about Kavanaugh too is, I mean, he came in during the George W. Bush administration, and I mean, the way I see it, you know, the guy was appointed by all textbook standards a fucking war criminal, like a person who very well
a war criminal who also happened to have been. Got the presidency because the Supreme Court got involved.
Exactly. So, like, imagine that. Like, they were... And then you think that when... Because obviously Trump didn't do any research on what judges... But do you think when his team went, this is what Kavanaugh has said and this is what Kavanaugh's history is, he went, okay, well, this is obviously because we're setting it so I can basically take on Mueller.
What happened is that he outsourced the decision to the Heritage Society.
Yeah.
It's the first time that we've seen that an outside party, a kind of special interest, can successfully basically nominate judges, Supreme Court judges. He went out of the list, interviewed a few of them, and Kavanaugh's the one that I think stood out as his best bet for consolidating authority.
Yeah. I mean, it certainly seems like it. I mean, given the, I mean, what he said, that I think that quote is what's really what everyone is focusing on, more so because let's face it, like the Russian investigation, regardless of whether or not it has as much steam as people want to say that it does, is on the forefront for his image and for for his reputation as a president.
Didn't the Senate Intel Committee like say that there was?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, I mean,
it agreed with the intelligent assessment of.
So that. It's been confirmed that there was some sort of collusion there. But
not that there was that some sort of, that there was that Russia did favor Donald Trump and had meddle, but there isn't the collusion stuff is still being investigated.
But that they did meddle
and it did
And here's the thing.
In favor of Trump. Right?
So people are like, whatever, the U.S. does this in other countries all the time. Yeah, but it's never happened in the U.S. before. It literally is, like, screwing up.
Yeah, look, I'm a major critic of U.S. intervention in other democracies around the world, a big one.
Mm-hmm.
That doesn't necessarily mean that I'm okay with other people interfering in our democracy. But I, you know, the Russia stuff is not a bit on a big, for me, is not as big a deal. I know it's for a lot of people it is. I think that on one end, the whole kind of collusion thing, it's too ambiguous. U.S. presidents in the past have done other very similar shady stuff. Nixon, quite famously, kind of worked out deals with Cambodia.
Yeah.
Before he became president. Reagan with the Iran-Contra affair. There's a lot of presidents have always done really shady shit.
I love how you named two Republicans.
Yeah, well, I mean, Republicans are generally a big, big protection racket. It's the mafia.
Yeah.
But in you know, middle-aged, balding, well, that's mafia also. the point being
that you were describing yourself.
Fuck you.
Wow.
The point being that America's corruption is not a new thing. It's that we don't acknowledge it as corruption.
Yeah, we can't.
So
admit
like in
to
a
it.
Lot of other countries, this type of stuff is huge. So Russia also meddled, as we're discovering now, in Great Britain.
Uh-huh.
Great Britain is responding very differently than America is.
Oh.
Right? To the point where they're literally going, that vote is no longer count. We need to do another vote.
This is the Brexit,
yeah. Uh-huh. So there's a whole completely kind of different response to the rest of the world. Also, the Russia stuff, I think, is the smallest kind of, you know, problem that America is dealing with. You got to deal with the fact that you're in a democracy that is fundamentally flawed. You're worried about Russia meddling, but what you should be worried about is the fact that private corporations poured in millions of dollars into a campaign, and now we're being rewarded for it. That the Donald Trump campaign took on money, over $1 million worth of funding from CoreCivics and Geo Group, who are private prison corporations. Now they happen to be at the forefront of his immigration policy and his detention policy.
Yeah, and they also
are the facilities that the children are ending up in.
They're also connected with Jeff Sessions,
connected to Jeff Sessions. That is what you should be worried about. Yeah. It's not the collusion with Russia; it's the collusion with your fucking corporations.
Yeah.
Yeah, the Russia stuff is a problem. If it turns out to be true, you can address it. But I think that by fixating on Russia, We're kind of looking at this. We're kind of outsourcing the problem.
Yeah.
The problem is here at home, and this is what enables Donald Trump. Let's be real. Everyone's like, "Oh, Russia this, Russia that." And I'm like, "You." The reason why Trump exists is because the mechanisms that exist here are fucked up.
Mm-hmm.
Address that. There shouldn't be billionaire presidents.
No.
That's the first thing. There shouldn't be wannabe celebrity reality TV presidents. There shouldn't be presidents taking in money that enriched them. But we go, oh, that's unique to Trump. No. Technically, Trump has put it into his Trump company. But every other politician puts it where?
In their pocket?
In their campaigns.
Yeah. I think also for the whole Rush thing, people, I mean, really, we connect on to, you know, we consume stories, right? And ultimately, it's so much easier for us to consume the concept of a foreign entity ruining everything that was apparently okay before this. Mm. You know, without having to kind of put the blame on the fact that our society is a lot of the reason why things are the way they are. Or, you know, the fact that this whole time Washington has been doing these things to enrich themselves at the cost of the, you know, the base population or the middle class or whoever else. It basically makes it so it's easier for us to look outwardly instead of inwardly into who we are as Americans and why it's so easy to attach
literally
ourselves to
what
Russia.
I just said.
Yeah, but I'm just basically trying to say a little bit dumber.
You repeated what I said in a more long-winded fashion.
All right, whatever.
How dare you? Yeah.
I appreciate you. I liked what you said better than what he said.
You could also mention in our kind of continuing this kind of tragic news, if we will, the death of Steve Ditko. Who's kind of a huge figure in the Marvel world, comic book world, and the nerd world. So we started off with our political news of the day, and let's go to our nerd news of the day, and that is the tragic passing of Steve Ditko. For those that don't know who he is one of the brilliant writers and creators behind two of our favorite comic book characters. One, Doctor Strange, and two, Spider-Man.
Yeah, so here's the thing. When me not being a comic book fan, right? When I think of comic book writers and people that are big, I think of Stan Lee, obviously, number one. He's like the most famous person, I think. Yeah. Even people who like don't know comic books whatsoever will know Stan Lee because he's got those cameos. And then if you know somewhat about comic books, if you have like a friend who's a comic book fan, like I have V who's a comic book fan, I know of Jack Kirby.
Yeah,
right.
Jack Kirby's huge.
Those are the two that I know. Right, and then I know Rick Remender because he's always bringing him up because of Deadpool. And then
Rick Remender has nothing to do with Deadpool.
I thought he was the Deadpool guy.
Nope. But he did Uncanny X-Force that happened to have Deadpool, and then
that's the one I know him because of that because you brought him up in the podcast like a bunch of times because he, whatever. That's where I know him from. From V, and that's it. I've never heard of the Steve Ditko guy until you.
Do you know who wrote Deadpool?
Yeah, Judas Freeloader. He wrote stuff for him.
What?
Judah Freeloader? No, the other guy.
Judah Friedlander?
Yeah, not him.
No, not him.
It was the tall white dude with the mustache.
They're all tall white with mustaches.
He was in the Sarah Silverman show. He's got that weird nasally voice.
Brian Posehn.
There you go. Mm-mm.
Brian Posehn wrote
Brian Posehn?
Brian Posehn wrote Deadpool.
Who's the guy that was got all emotional with the Deadpool? The one with the L name.
Right?
The guy that got all emotional at the Deadpool 2?
Leech or whatever? Elites or whatever?
I don't know, man. You're asking. Why are you looking at me like I know? You're supposed to be the comic book guy.
Well, I mean, there's
created Deadpool.
Okay, so he was created by Rob Liefeld.
Liefeld is what I meant. The L guy.
The L guy. He was created by Rob Liefeld, who stole from the concept of Deathstroke. He stole from
Liefeld got emotional.
Rob Liefeld got emotional because he created Deadpool and Cable. You know, he also created Domino, but he didn't really become a big thing until that doesn't matter. We're talking about Steve Ditko, anyway. So, you know, Steve Ditko actually, you know, he's iconic to a lot of people in the comic world because he's actually the one who created the first Iron Man suit that was yellow and red. He also was the one that changed the helmet to make it not look like a bucket. Mm. It was more kind of, you know, like anatomically, it was more kind of like a helmet looking thing, or like more so like his
face.
Yeah, like a face. Mm. You know, and he was also, I mean, his influences kind of run very far and wide. I mean, he left Marvel, I think, in the mid 1960s or something. So he wasn't there for very long. But, you know, you see him in the 90s when we were growing up, a lot of the cartoons that we watched, you'd see things that were complete homages to Steve Ditko.
Yeah.
I mean, throughout like the Batman, the New Adventures of Batman, I think, is not the animated series, the one that was after that, where Joker had an all-white face instead of the colored face. They created they had a character on there, and his name was like Mr. Creepy or something, who featured in there, who was based on him. The Rorschach character from Watchmen is very much based on a Steve Ditko character. I think his name was The Question. He's like a dude without a face.
Yeah, The Question is Marvel's conspiracy theorist.
Yeah. Ah.
He's the, it's kind of a return back to the kind of golden era of noir detective.
What's his power?
He doesn't have any power.
Yeah, he's like a detective.
He's a detective. He's old school, like trench coat wearing, fedora hat.
Oh, like the guy from Who Framed Roger Rabbit.
He's basically a PI, but he's called The Question because sometimes he's depicted as not having a face. Yeah.
He's actually DC Comics. He's not. He's a, you said not Marvel.
Did I say Marvel?
Yeah, you said Marvel.
He's in Justice League.
Yeah. So like, and he actually has like him and Huntress have a thing for a while and stuff too. But he plays on this idea, like Steve Ditko is very much about objectivism. Mm-hmm. So a lot of those concepts are put into his titles.
Which is Ayn Rand's philosophy.
Yeah. So that Atlas was big, Shrugged. And then it obviously influenced a lot of Alan Moore's writing. Mm-hmm. You saw it in Watchmen, and you saw a lot of what he was doing.
Alan Moore isn't an objectivist.
Yeah. But it's like his Rorschach, his incarnation of Rorschach, was a lot of it was a lot of those ideas were because of The Question. No. So, you know, the influence you can
should check out The Question. It's very interesting.
I should check him out.
It's like, as V mentioned, he's all another faceless kind of detective. I mean, they look, minus the Rorschach on his, the ink blots on his face, are literally identical.
Yeah. Yeah. So I mean, like their attitudes, their behaviors. very much the same.
Deeply paranoid.
Yeah. And if you like that, actually, if you like that genre of that noir comic book style, mm-hmm. There's a guy named Ed Brubaker who does a great one called Incognito, which is, it really harkens back to that style. It's an independent comic, Incognito is, but it's really a wonderful read. And if you kind of like that, almost those like the shadowy colors and kind of that muted like noir style, like we said, it's a great title to read.
What's quite fascinating about Steve Ditko too is like the reason why you also don't know him is he went out of his way to kind of preserve his privacy.
There's like no modern pictures of him.
Notoriously reclusive, refused to give interviews ever. There was one time they talked about how a reporter tracked him down. He opened the door, found out the dude was a reporter, and slammed the door in his face. Very, very notorious. And he also disassociated himself heavily with the MCU because they apparently he was not connected in any way, shape, or form with the way his creations were being depicted in media, and apparently wasn't even getting paid for.
Yeah, he was.
Someone asked him, "Like, are you getting a paycheck for Doctor Strange and Spider-Man, all these people that you created now being on the big screen?" And he said, "No." Though there are some people who dispute that he did get paid for it. But the point being is that he's one of those weird background figures that kind of decided, I'm not going to be the face of comic books. I'm not going to be out there, you know, like fucking Stan Lee, who loves the spotlight.
Yeah.
Right? Loves the spotlight. He's in doing cameos. He does interviews, all sorts of stuff.
I think it's the only thing keeping him alive, honestly.
But Steve Ditko, on the other hand, still, even though he's behind the scenes, he has a huge influence. I mean, the popularity of Doctor Strange is really thanks to him and the kind of the way he created him and imagined him. Even a lot of the kind of components of Spider-Man.
Spider-Man.
Steve Ditko. And it's a reminder that comic books in general, we talk about comic book authors, right? In the same way that we talk about novel authors, book authors, etc. But the reality is that comic books are team efforts. Massively collaborative, probably more so. I mean, books have editors and publishers, etc.
Ghostwriters, sometimes.
Ghostwriters, but comic books more so than any other kind of literary endeavor, and even artistic are rooted in collaboration.
Yeah, I mean, because if you actually look at the way that they create a comic book panel, it's on like a really large board, and they draw big pictures and they go it down. But the guy who does the pencils isn't the guy who does the shading and isn't the guy who does the color. And there's sometimes multiple writers. There's input by Marvel itself now anyway, right? You have a lot of different hands that go into creating a single title. And very rarely do you actually get to know people outside. I mean, you barely even get to know the author sometimes. Of a lot of these comic books. People just don't always follow who the writers are. They follow the characters a lot of the time. So, you know, there's not always like super all-star comic book authors. Like Brandon Sanderson is huge right now, right? Because people love his series. But people don't quite follow comic book authors the same way as they follow like a George R. R. Martin or who wrote Harry Potter? What's her name?
J.K. Rowling.
There it is. I complete nerd fart right there.
Take away his card.
It's all right. I turned it in years ago.
He forgot the name. He didn't get it wrong.
It's exactly. Take away his card.
Whatever.
Anyway, it's really marvelous kind of what he did. And he reminds me a lot of, if anyone grew up in the 90s or late 80s, if you remember Calvin and Hobbes, know, one of my favorite comics growing up, right? Because it's like you had this beautiful combination of this like whimsy with existential, you know, kind of musing. And a lot of it was the voice of Bill Watterson coming through. And Bill Watterson, a lot like Steve Ditko, notoriously known for not taking interviews, also very protective of his work. Although, you know, he lost that battle because no matter, you know, you see the Calvin pissing on whatever decal all over the place. But he, like Bill Watterson, Steve Ditko had a lot of his personal philosophies ingrained within his work. And you realize that although he didn't have an outward voice as Steve Ditko, you saw what he thought through the characters that he created and the characters that he ultimately put onto the page and are influencing now. And I think really that's really what I really want to take out of that is like Bill Watterson, there's so much about him that is unknown, but really there's a lot that you can learn just by the characters that he created and the people that they are. Yeah.
We should end by mentioning something a little bit lighter. We're talking about the end of America, death in comic books.
Yeah.
We should end with Elon Musk, because I really want to talk about Musk, and I think it's a good way to kind of cleanse the palate,
as it were.
Elon Musk, our favorite tech genius.
SpaceX, baby.
Weirdo.
Can I be the first to tell you that Elon Musk sounds like an X-Men supervillain?
Can we also say that Elon Musk is actually not nearly as successful as people think he is?
Yeah, no.
It's another one of those like weird things of like late-stage capitalism. There's like these people that you think are like super successful. Like someone broke it down and like only 35% of his companies have ever been successful or something like that. Like
but I mean, you said it too. It's like everyone assumes that Wolf Blitzer is smart, but he's really dumb.
Wolf Blitzer's a fucking moron. Yeah. Have you ever seen him on Jeopardy?
Yeah, every time we mention Wolf Blitzer, you bring
I just want to point this out because like it is an epic feat for you to end up with like hundreds of dollars negative.
Mm.
Like he is epically dumb. Wolf Blitzer is probably the dumbest journalist, and that's including Tammy Lasagna.
Yeah, and I have to tell you, Wolf Blitzer also sounds like a Marvel supervillain.
He does.
Yeah.
Yeah, I can
see. He's got a fantastic name for journalism, though, right?
My name is Wolf Blitzer.
Is that like his actual name, though?
I think his actual
name. Okay, that's like a pen name or something.
He is super dumb.
Is Elon Musk's real name Elon Musk?
Yeah, I think so.
You should, I don't know, man. It just sounds, it sounds too techie, like, to be real. Like, I'm going to name my son Elon.
You know for a fact there's some parent out there that will name their children stupid shit like that.
That's true. But I thought Vin Diesel was his actual name until I realized it wasn't.
What? You actually thought that was his real name?
I'm all like, who the hell? Like, it's like, who number one? No, who Vin has the last Diesel name?
Is Diesel? Too fake.
Yeah, like, come on, man. Yeah. It's like Tom Cruise.
Yeah, it's way too fake.
Tom Cruise's name isn't Tom Cruise either.
It's not Tom Cruise. What's his name?
Tom Cruz. He's actually a Persian.
That's so stupid. Anyway, so Elon Musk, there is this case of children being stuck in Thailand, in a cave. Do you want to tell us a little bit about that?
Absolutely. You know, when it comes to children stuck in a cave, no one knows more about that than V-Tran.
What?
I'll tell you that much.
What does that mean? Hold on.
What it means. Wait. We're going to move past that because that we're going to end up getting off the air. Let's just go.
It felt like it was right to say at the time because I read for hours about these children.
One second. The views and thoughts expressed by V-Tran reflect the Curly Nerdy podcast. Carry on. Go ahead.
Okay. So apparently what happened was they were in a big battle. And then they were wounded, and then a spider had covered the outside of the cave.
No, facts. I don't got time for your bullshit. All right. Facts.
So there is a Thai soccer team.
How many kids?
There was 12 of them.
Yes.
And then there was their coach.
Okay.
And then basically they were called the Wild Boars.
Yes.
And then they decided after practice that they were going to go and explore the caves with their coach.
Yes.
Now, the caves, they go through the caves. And essentially what happens is like monsoon weather comes in and they get crazy hit with rain.
Well, it collapses part of the entrance.
Yes, it's part of the entrance collapses. It's crazy flooded, right? And then they get stuck in there and there's no way for them to get out. Now,
they get stuck for days.
For days. Like, yeah, they were there for 10 days or so.
Yeah.
Eventually, two British divers are able to kind of find a way to get through.
There's a search and rescue going on.
Mm-hmm. And then they realize like there's a great video where they actually find them. What's crazy is that the only light they have in there is like, you know, it's like pitch dark. It's a cave.
Yeah.
You know, the only light they have in there is pretty much what the divers have on their headlamps and everything. But they basically find a route to get in, and then they realize that they actually have to like pick bit by bit at these openings in order to like create an opening big enough to like fit people through. Now, there was a big old rescue from, the American Navy was there. Thai Navy SEALs were bringing in supplies.
Mm-hmm.
We had some Australians as well. People around the world were trying to basically bring in whatever help they could.
Mm-hmm.
Now, where Elon Musk comes in is that, you know, he was busy sitting there trying to make his Iron Man suit to fight off terrorists. And then he realized that they can use like pieces of a SpaceX rocket in order to create this submarine that they had tested.
Someone actually tweets at him about it, and it goes back and forth. And that's what actually where he comes up with the idea. But he's kind of notorious as he responds on Twitter to like weird shit.
So I'm not a huge fan of Elon Musk personally. I feel like apartheid definitely gave him a lot of advantages that he shouldn't have today.
Wow.
But, you know, that's a complete side story.
We should also note that the coach himself is also quite young.
He's
a 25-year-old former monk, and he feels super guilty about, kind of leading the boys into that cave. People were talking about charges for negligence, but the parents don't hold him responsible in any way, shape, or form because he's really kind of stepped up heroically as a person who taught the kids to meditate while they were there, rationed off his own food to the children. So he was the weakest and also the last to leave.
Yeah.
Of all the people being rescued. And the rescue was led by three very famous British cave divers, Vernon Unsworth, John Volfin, and Rick Stanton, who are...
Yes. Dick Stanton.
Is it Dick Stanton?
Yeah, it's Richard Dick Stanton.
Whatever. Who are quite famous cave divers. They're known for it.
Yeah, they led the team.
They led the team. There was also one individual who passed away, was a retired Thai Navy SEAL who lost oxygen, trying to get oxygen to the children, oxygen tanks. The problem with it is that because the entranceway had collapsed, they had to go a different route. And that different route involved actually diving, which is what... So basically, you had these children being taught in a short span of time how to dive, how to you take on oxygen from a tank, go through a very windy route that involved hundreds of meters, upwards, I think, of 3 hours total until they could get out, physically out of the entrance. That would involve really muddy waters, unclear waters,
periods of time. A lot of them didn't know how to swim.
A lot of them didn't know how to swim. Periods of time where they would have to actually climb over rocks and land, and then finally getting out. So they came up with a strategy of having one diver right next to them and one diver behind, being tied to a line and kind of being guided that way. Seriousness aside, Elon Musk comes in.
Yes.
Elon, with what is essentially, as you mentioned, and as Twitter rightly points out, underwater children coffins.
Have you seen the illustration?
They look like, and I apologize in advance to our virgin friends who are listening.
Mm-hmm. Omar.
You are all virgins, you're nerds. Mm-hmm. Let's be real. You've never seen a woman in your life, or at least up close. Mm-hmm.
Digitally, they probably have.
Vibrators. They look like giant vibrators.
Yeah, they do look like giant vibrators.
They look like giant metallic vibrators.
I gotta tell you, man, like, this is... I mean, I feel like it was almost a postmodern attempt at, like, it was like a parody.
Look, let's be real. I love also the fact that, like, he shows up and, like, he just leaves the five vibrators
there. Yeah.
Just in case you need them, I'm going to leave these vibrators.
But I'm like, imagine what archaeologists are going to say 1,000 years from now. They're going to dig into this mountain. They're going to be like,
what type of giant vaginas were roaming around in the 2010s? So,
Elon Musk looking for the G-spot.
BBC.
And not finding it.
BBC World.
I'll leave it in here.
I'll leave it in the there. Cave entrance. Of course you would.
Cavern ascension.
That is not the clitoris. So BBC World tweeted that the Thai governor, or the provincial governor, said that the mini submarine wasn't practical, right?
It wasn't, because it involves, the actual diving involves portions where you're walking.
Yeah. So
to get out.
Elon Musk went on a nice little Twitter rant today.
He doesn't take criticism well.
No.
The dude does not take criticism.
So he responded.
Fragile ego.
He responded to BBC and said, actually, I had direct conversation with Dick Stanton, who was in charge of the expert. He was the subject matter expert, and he was in charge. So, like, he's sending his emails, or, like, you know, like, he's talking with Dick Stanton, whatever. But then he goes on to, like, start, like, responding to other people's tweets. And someone said something like, look at this, leave it to this billionaire to show up to try to, like, help everyone. He's like, and then the media uses the word billionaires to try to devalue people. Like,
shut up.
Only a billionaire would say that. Let's be real. Have you guys, so this reminded me so much of Silicon Valley. So Gavin in Silicon Valley is the billionaire who's in charge of Hooli.
So he goes, he's doing like this Q&A, and he talks about how billionaires are treated just as bad as Jews were during Nazi Germany. Oh. For whatever reason, Elon Musk saying that people use the word billionaire to devalue.
You know what I particularly love about the part where he shows up with his submarine vibrators and he then leaves them there as an option B. You know what it reminds me of? It reminds me of that one friend, both of you, who reach for your wallet, pretending like you're about to pay, knowing full well you're not going to pay.
I would pay.
That's what Elon Musk is like. You don't let me pay. You know, there's always that guy, and you have a group dinner that's gone out, and everyone's like, the check shows up, and people are like, no, we're going to split it, we're going to Venmo, and there's always that one guy that's like, oh, yeah. He makes this big old show of reaching for his wallet, knowing full well he's never going to actually pull out a card. That's what Elon Musk reminds me of. He's that guy. He made this big old show. Look, showing clips of it, like they were practicing in the pool. He shows up. I'm just going to leave this
here. Yeah, you're going to have it. It's good to get the bacteria out of water.
As much as we're making fun of Elon Musk, there is something deeply insecure about that dude. There is. He loses his shit anytime anyone calls him out on Twitter, and he has to respond. He lost his shit because a couple journalists criticized his companies. His companies have had some labor regulation issues, right?
Yeah.
People have gotten injured, etc. Rather than take it on board, he decided that he's going to start his own media app that addresses the media. Decide, literally, that's what a billionaire does. He's like, you know what? I've decided. Journalists can't be trusted to do their job, so I'm going to do it better. And this is my problem with Elon Musk, and I'm going to get so much hate mail on Twitter from his rabid cultist fans. We constantly are looking to the Elon Musks of the world as kind of, they're the people that are going to give us solutions. He's got his underground whatever shit.
Sex dungeon.
Not sex dungeon. Yeah. The carpool lane thingy that he's creating underground, right, in order to address traffic. He's got underwater fucking dildos, submarines. Right?
Yeah. Dildo coffin.
He's got dildo vibrator coffins. And he's got space exploration because he's going to somehow create
Mars.
New, you know, transportation. The airplane of the stars. Shit like that, right? But we keep relying on a guy who, at the end of the day, is a corporatist. This is such a neoliberal bullshit that we treat this guy like some great savior, some great inventor. He just wants to make money. Let's be real. Now, if you're a capitalist, you're like, oh, there's nothing wrong with this. But let's be real. He's not even that successful at it. He's got all these great ideas. None of these ideas actually address real pressing concerns. That's the whole point of the fucking underwater vibrator. It's a great marketing tactic. It's brilliant. But at the end of the day, it's not practical. Because what he's interested in as an inventor is not addressing social needs, community needs. It's to make money.
Yo, so, he legit is Gavin Belson.
So his other plan for addressing urban congestion is this underwater. The problem is that he thinks that mass transportation or public transportation isn't a solution. He constantly mocks public transportation. We should be headed in the direction of public transportation.
It actually makes more sense.
But he's going in a completely different direction. Right? This kind of privatization. And this is my big issue with Elon Musk. And again, the capitalists who listen to us, which I hope there's not that many of them, are going to be like, Ali is a hater. I am a hater. I am slightly a hater.
Oh, I thought you called yourself a slut?
I didn't call myself a slut.
It sounded like you said you called yourself a slut.
You guys have hearing problems.
It's like that whole chaotic evil thing all over again.
I'm a hater here. And I think the reason for it is because Elon Musk isn't providing solutions. If you're turning to Elon Musk for solutions, you've lost it. What Elon Musk is providing is shiny toys.
Yeah. He's like what's a sharper image?
That's what he is.
He's nothing more than he's a humanized sharper image.
Like, we used to go into
Brookstone.
You used to walk into Brookstone whenever we were at the Spectrum. It was like a tradition.
We'd sit in the chairs.
Someone would we'd always sit in the chairs.
Yeah.
But Brookstone never actually, let's be real, Brookstone that we walked into or Sharper Image, they never actually have What did they sell? We have no idea.
Yeah.
Chairs. It's everything, though. You could buy a calculator there. You could buy nothing that you need, though.
Yeah.
A lot of shiny stuff. They have a calculator. I mean, I'm pretty sure the first time they had those calculators that you push the button and it flipped open and it would stand up.
Oh, TI-83.
You remember those?
Oh, yeah.
Those
yeah.
calculators?
Yeah, yeah.
I'm pretty sure Sharper Image came out with that. You don't need that calculator.
Yeah.
But it's a shiny object.
Yeah.
Sharper Image and Brookstone were both like that.
I never understood that because I have plenty of rich white friends.
Yeah.
Never saw anything from either one of those stores at any of their houses right? ever. Like, I don't understand exactly how they stayed in business. And truth is, it's like, you know, Elon Musk reminds me a lot of, remember that balloon boy from years
yeah.
ago?
Oh, yeah.
Right? It's like the dad wanted to be a reality TV star.
What's his name? Falcon?
This whole, yeah, yeah, Falcon. And they like did the whole like publicity stunt with this giant balloon.
He went to jail for it.
Yeah. Well, because, yeah, because it's like
a fact of fraud.
Yeah. But it's like, it's almost the same thing with Elon Musk. He's all like, and I think in the back of his mind, like, there's no way this kid's going to use this fucking giant tube. They look like they can hold giant cigars in the
balloon
thing.
Boy, but successful at it.
Yeah.
He's managed to fraud us.
Like, pull the wool over everyone's eyes. Look, like, Elon Musk is this, like, amazing.
For as much as you might think of the solutions of the world rely in the entrepreneurial, tech bro, business corporatists, right? They don't. And I think that's kind of what we need to push back on. Is that Elon Musk's The World Should Be a Meme. They should be memes. They're funny. They're entertaining. We should mock it. We should be like, oh, there he goes again. We should stop turning to him for solutions. If this guy had solutions, Flint wouldn't have a water crisis.
Yeah, that's true.
If this guy had solutions, there'd be a dozen other crises that he would have resolved, like Puerto Rico. Oh, sure. He'll send them a bunch of solar panels and stuff like that.
Yeah, like lithium ion thingies.
He'll do all that type of stuff, right? But I think that my biggest kind of problem with Elon Musk is it really represents the kind of fusion of hyper-capitalism, right, with all of its ugly components of cults of personality,
mm-hmm.
You know,
demagogues,
not understanding basic things like public mass transport or you know, congestion in urban cities or even urban design, right?
Mm-hmm.
Not understanding basic things like that. Fused with tech entrepreneurship, right? I think the intersection of those two makes him not just a figure for mockery, but I think someone who actually can lead us, mislead us in a lot of wrongful directions. I mean, just imagine if we went, oh, it's Elon Musk. Of course we're going to use the vibrating submarines. Right? What a stupid idea that would have been, right? Thank God the human component, three expert divers, very British, very English of them to politely refuse without hurting anyone's egos, right? Yeah. Very English of them. But let's be real here, right?
If we go,
traffic in California is impossible. We need a solution for this. I've got an idea.
Underground.
I'm going to put you in a capsule and shoot you underground, right?
Like, yes.
If you think that's the solution, you've lost your fucking mind. Yeah.
Well, he's basically got the funding and the imagination of an 11-year-old boy who reads too many sci-fi
novels. That's exactly what
like,
it is.
Yeah.
The 11-year-old boy shows that to his teacher, and his teacher's like, no. Right,
yeah.
Or he turns 18 and he tries to start a startup, and every reasonable person goes no.
Well, we knew kids like that
we
too.
Knew the kids, but because he's got the money for it,
yeah.
Those ideas, people go, I love the idea.
Yeah.
Let's do it.
Well, it's true. I think a lot of it is like the fact that he's rich gives him automatic clout in this situation.
Don't.
Mustafa was our Elon Musk. Without the money and without the brains,
For a guy who did a lot to create this podcast, more than anyone here, than all three of us combined, you took a lot of shit on that poor guy.
Because I know he's not listening.
It's fucked up.
That's his wife worse. Might be listening.
Hi, Diana.
Even worse.
Wow.
Mustafa's a great guy.
I have to tell you, like, there's one more thing. Like,
yeah.
If you look at the, like, there's one point where, like, the divers have to hold on to the oxygen tank for the kid.
Yeah, they do.
And,
it's
like,
attached to the side, but like they have to move
a
whole
face mask, right? Yeah. And they have to, like, move this giant oxygen tank.
Because it's a very small, one inch, it gets super claustrophobic.
They said total time was 6 hours to get out.
6 hours, that's what it
is. 6 hours was total time. Uh-huh. They talk about there's like, one area they were really, because it's pitch dark. Uh-huh. People forget this. It's pitch dark going through.
They're in a cave.
Yeah. So, like, there's this one point, they said there's a hole that was barely 9 inches wide to get through.
Ugh.
Right? You can imagine getting that fucking submarine through that thing, right? Mm-hmm. Number one. And also, that was the hardest point because there was a point where the divers had to be separated from the kid.
Mm.
So they had to, the kid had to be able to get through and do everything, you know, with them not being able to get to him for a moment. Mm. Like, imagine how dangerous. And then imagine being in a, like, laying down in this fucking coffin thing
for 6 hours
and not knowing what's going on. Like, I'd be more afraid of that than actually having to swim through these caves.
Anyways, we should end with by saying go to Twitter and check out the Elon Musk memes. They are fucking hilarious, actually.
Yeah. You know, if it's one good thing that got created to this is the memes.
The Elon Musk.
The same memes. Thing with his stupid SpaceX thing. You know, prove the flat Earth people wrong or whatever.
Yeah. The unintended consequences of Elon Musk.
I'm sorry. The best memes I've seen in the past week have been those Jay-Z on a jet ski meme.
Those are pretty good too. Yeah.
Fight me.
Yeah, the dude looks like an old lady on that thing.
The best one was when they put him on a kid's roller coaster.
No, the best one is when they made him Dr. Nefario from...
Yeah, okay. Yeah.
It's a legit one, because when I saw that, I nearly pissed myself laughing. It was good.
Yeah, okay.
All right, Diz. On that note, we're going to end it here, and Diz is going to take us out. Hopefully you enjoyed this podcast. Let us know what your thoughts are on Elon Musk. Am I just drinking on the haterade? And let us know, you know, your thoughts on politics. Are you worried about the Supreme Court as we are? Diz.
Yes, you can tell us that on Facebook, facebook.com/currentlynerdy, on Twitter, @currentlynerdy, Instagram, currentlynerdy, on the Tumblr, currentlynerdy.tumblr.com, on YouTube, search Currently Nerdy. We're on Stitcher, Google Play, and the iTunes podcast app. If you haven't already, please subscribe, rate, and give us a 5-star rating. Por favor, we need the ratings. If you want to get a hold of us individually, you can. V, how can I get a hold of you?
You can find me on Twitter and Instagram at VTran214. That's VYTRAN214. Or on my websites at 7crossroads.com or thesandwichslayer.com.
You can catch me on my Twitter and Instagram at AAOLOMI, or you can catch me on my website at AliOlomi.com, or on our sister podcast, Head on History. Diz.
You could find me everywhere at Dizbulla, DizBullah.
For everyone here at Currently Nerdy, thank you for tuning in, and remember, stay smart, you sexy nerds.
And we love you, unless you're making dildos for children to hop inside.